I shared in my weekly update with you yesterday that I received a notification of two more deaths of people in areas that I recently served as pastor. This, of course, follows on the heels of the death of Mrs. Gore. It's also been clear that a number of our family and friends, I say our, including everybody here, have been facing some serious health trials. It would be fair to say that when the days are shorter, even the mental health of many of us is tested a bit more than when the days are longer. There's something about when the sun dissipates or goes away and we have the early setting of the sun and just a lot more darkness. It just seems like that it's even more challenging, frankly, for many people. And I understand that. When I was younger, I did not understand the difference between or why some people were so seemingly, at least in my mind, when they would talk about it, so much happier when the sun was out. As I've gotten older, I do get it. And I think that none of us are super excited necessarily about how quickly the sun goes down these days. And so in many ways, you know, it's just a time that seems to be a little bit harder for many folks. I may not know all that's going on in your life, but I do know there are many challenges that we face in life, and that means that I believe we can all appreciate the need for real peace of mind, inner peace. Frankly, I find the news difficult to watch these days for several reasons, which I won't take the time to go into. But I also know what must take place before the return of Jesus Christ. So at this point, frankly, nothing surprises me. I would assume that would also be the case for most of you. The angst and deep division that we see in our country, as well as across the globe, is merely another reminder of who the God of this world is and how much that we really need peace of mind from Almighty God. In short, this world lacks truth. And there is no where there is no truth, there is no lasting peace. Even in God's church, the trials that we all face each week, some are much more severe than others. What we find is that we handle our trial better or worse, depending on the amount of peace that God blesses us with. In Galatians 5, we read about 9 specific fruits born of the Holy Spirit, or parts of fruit, if you could say it that way, since it says the fruit of the Spirit. One of those attributes is peace. For the sermon time today, I'd like for us to take a look at this subject of peace. The world really lacks this. On the other hand, for those that have been baptized, we should be experiencing a high degree of peace, even in these troubled times in which we live. Today's sermon title, for those who like it, is Peace Be With You. Peace Be With You. Now, before going to Galatians 5, I would like to begin in Romans chapter 1. So let's turn there, if you would. And we'll do this because it gives us immediate insight into what God offers and what we all need. Romans chapter 1. And I'd like to read beginning in verse 7. Excuse me. Romans 1 and verse 7 says, To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's greeting to the church at Rome was this: grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul understood the importance of having the peace that comes from God. He wanted all who were called to both experience this and appreciate it. Now, I realize that these greetings can easily be overlooked that we read here in the Bible, but it would be a mistake to do so. Paul was conveying the love of God to them through this greeting. He was reminding them of what God had given them. Let's consider how Jesus Christ met his disciples after his resurrection, because frankly, it helps give us insight into how important this subject is to God. He wants you and me to experience a lot of inner peace in our lives. It's a tremendous blessing that comes with being given God's Holy Spirit, and we all need it. John chapter 20, if you would. We're going to turn to quite a number of scriptures today. So, more than normal by for sure. So, bear with me. I hope I will do this in such a way that I won't lose anybody. John chapter 20, and beginning in verse 19. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. We're, of course, taking a look at after his resurrection here. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you," verse 21, "as the Father has sent me, I also send you." Twice in these three verses, Christ says, "Peace be with you." He wanted them to be at peace that he was resurrected. He wanted them to be at peace with their job at hand. They would be teaching the truth of God as they had been trained to do. And in order to do that effectively, one must know the truth and be at peace with God's plan, no matter what is taking place all around them. Perhaps you've been experiencing stress in your life from work or family challenges. Please remind yourself who's in charge and what he offers. It's important to do that when we sense, when we feel, when we recognize stress in our lives. Fellow family members, you and I have been richly blessed by being given God's Holy Spirit. It is with his Holy Spirit that we can see and understand what others do not. And with that understanding comes peace. Let's go ahead and remind ourselves of what we're told in Galatians 5 by turning over there and reading this together. Galatians chapter 5. I'd like to begin in verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." Let me just stop here for a moment. Think about what it is that we're actually reading. The fruit of the Spirit. In other words, what comes from God's Holy Spirit in us? What he gives us should be producing what we're reading right here. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, in other words, patience. I know that almighty P word, that's a tough one. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. God's Spirit, fellow family members, imparts the very nature of God inside us. Part of that nature is peace. To me, that is a tremendous comfort. I hope it is to you as well. So this is probably as good a place as any to ask this question, this important question. Are you really experiencing a high degree of peace in your life? Or are you experiencing a lot of stress and a general lack of peace? God intended everyone who has been given the Holy Spirit to be able to experience high levels of peace. And when I say this, I don't mean that we'll be void of trials. What I'm saying is, and what I mean is, when we do experience a trial, we'll have a lot more peace of mind than we otherwise would if we didn't have the blessing of God's Holy Spirit. Peace is among the salutations given by Jesus Christ, by the Apostle Paul and the other apostles. This instruction, fruit, if you will, is of God. Now, I don't want to go further until we define the word peace at this point. So let me just give you what the dictionary shares with us about peace. Quote, a state of tranquility or quiet. Now, there's a lot of different things that come to my mind when I think of that. One of the things that obviously comes to my mind right away is the world in which we live, which is anything but tranquil and quiet. Which means, unless we pursue and seek the help that comes from God through His Holy Spirit and actively implement that in our lives and respond to that, we easily can get sucked into what's going on around us. Which is anything, like I say, but tranquil and quiet. Continuing with the definition, freedom from civil disturbance. Another part of the definition, a state of security or order within a community provided for by law or custom. Man is busy fighting God's law, and sadly today, many of man's laws. It's not a very law-abiding, let's just say there aren't many who are law-abiding. I want to be fair about this. But there are increasing numbers of individuals who are not interested in being law-abiding. I never really gave it much thought. You would have to think this kind of thing would happen leading up to the time of Jesus Christ's return. But to reach a point where people literally, in let's say New York City, for example, would throw eggs or throw things at police officers and the police officers are told to just walk away, tells you where we are. Freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. You know, sometimes our minds, if we allow them to be consumed with negativity, we're not going to have a lot of peace. How about this one? Harmony in personal relations. Sometimes it's easy to have that with somebody. Sometimes it really takes a lot of work, doesn't it? Here's another part of the definition. At peace, in a state of concord or tranquility. So from this definition, it is clear right away that there's precious little peace in this world at large. Internationally, nationally, in schools, in the workplace, etc. But frankly, that should make sense to us because most people have not been called at this time, and because they don't know the truth, they turn all sorts of places to find peace without being very successful, or frankly, just don't even look for it. But many people turn trying to find something in their life that makes them feel calm and peaceful. So they turn to drugs, they turn to alcohol, they turn to illicit sex, pursuit of money, political power, celebrity status, independence from anyone or anything having to do with God. Since God is the one who shares absolute truth, He is also the one who gives the gift of peace. We are reminded of this in Numbers chapter 6. Let's turn there. Numbers 6. Here in Numbers 6, I'd like to begin in verse 22. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel, and say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. When was the last time you got on your knees and thanked God for the peace that He gives you each day? Now, I think as we look around the globe and we watch and we read the news, we know that this world could really use peace. In fact, bringing it even much closer to home, virtually everyone that we know in and around us that we have to interact with could use more peace in their lives. And that's coming with the fulfillment of God's plan. But for God's first fruits, we are blessed right now with a high level of peace that others simply don't have. So if you sense or feel in your own life that you're lacking that, The question then is, what do I do? Where do I turn? How do I solve this so that I can have higher levels of peace in my life? Let's all be perfectly clear about this. As we submit to God's will, we are given meaningful peace and tranquility. Let me repeat that. As we submit to God's will, we are given meaningful peace and tranquility. The more we submit, the more peace we have in our lives. Well, that's what you say the answer is all the time. There's got to be more to it than that. You know, I can remember thinking that in my mind when I would have conversations with my father in the past. The early years of our marriage, my parents were living in Australia. And, of course, we were here in the States, Colleen and I. And we didn't get a chance to talk very often because it cost a lot of money, unlike today, to talk on the phone. You didn't have internet, so you didn't go back and forth that way and so on. So we didn't get a chance to talk all that often. And even when you send a letter, it took a while to get there, and that's not nearly the same as obviously talking to somebody in person. But I can remember at times sharing certain frustrations with my father. And more often than not, it seemed like every time we come back to, the answer always had something to do with me and following what God said, and things would improve. And I remember thinking to myself, although I don't recall ever really saying this to him, that's what he always says. I didn't appreciate it in the way I needed to appreciate it. The truth of the matter is, he was right. When we follow what God says, God blesses us in innumerable ways far beyond what we would have ever thought. It's not as though there's some great big magic pill answer that is different for this and different for that. No, no, no. It truly is a case of follow what God says, submit to that, and you will be amazed at what the benefits are. As we submit to God's will, we are given meaningful peace and tranquility. God is the only one who can give us what we need when it comes to this subject. I remember watching the coverage of the death of Pope John Paul a number of years ago. And the thought crossed my mind that there are many hundreds of thousands of people who had come from all over the globe to pay their respect to the supposed vicar of Christ or perceived man of peace. Horrible crimes and atrocities continued around the world. Neither his life nor his death brought peace or peace of mind for most people. Again, with God's calling, our repentance, and the receiving of God's Holy Spirit, we can experience peace, but that's the only way. God's able to offer and provide what no other can. The world will not know peace until Christ returns and wipes out all of those who are determined to fight him. At that time, people will see peace around them, and they will experience peace internally as well. Let's turn to John chapter 14. John 14, and notice what Jesus Christ shared with his disciples shortly before he was crucified. John chapter 14. And let's pick up verse 25. The words of Jesus Christ. These things I have spoken to you, verse 25 of chapter 14, while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, it is the proper way that it should be used here. It's not he, it's not a separate being, as we know. So there's mistranslation in Scripture. It will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Christ wanted the disciples to have peace, even through turmoil, even though turmoil would be in their very midst. Not a single human being in this room that has any real life experiences can say that you haven't been at one time or another through some sort of turmoil in your life. God provides what we all need. But we have to keep going to Him. We have to draw closer to Him. We have to get rid of what is in us that's causing us to go another route. Notice the wording in verse 27 specifically. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. He's offering something that the world cannot. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. I believe that you feel as I do. We don't want a troubled heart. That's a difficult place to be. There are many people in life today, but that's the state of where they are. In other words, the peace that God gives is very different in that it provides true comfort and strength to us internally in a way that really isn't describable. Peace that comes from God removes worry and doubt and concern from within. No matter what you and I face in our lifetime, no matter how distressing a hand life seems to have dealt us, God's Spirit is a calming one. This is what I have seen in much of the ministry and membership in God's church over the years. Individuals that are calm and at peace as a result of what God's Holy Spirit has given them. I'm reminded of a visit I went on to the hospital many years ago when a member had been involved in a serious car accident. I rushed to the hospital to anoint them in the emergency room. It was a while before they were back in a regular room. They had to go through intensive care for a while. They did manage to get through the accident, but they were quite shaken up and scared for quite some time there, and the family certainly was. There was an individual of the family there that used to be a part of God's church that attended for a number of years and had stopped and hadn't attended for quite some time. And the individual, I remember clear as day, saying to me, "You're so calm and calming to the family in times like this. Is that the way you always are?" And I remember thinking how sad it is that the individual had the answer at one time, or at least attended church and should have or could have had the answer, but for whatever reason at this time and stage in life, she failed to see and understand and appreciate. Obviously, if someone's doing poorly, none of us, even just logically, would want to bring tension into the equation. You would want to try to bring calm. But there's something incredibly calming about God's Holy Spirit and the peace that that provides. In God's church, we should all become people who are calm in the midst of chaos or confusion or pain, thanks to the peace given to us by God through His Holy Spirit. Sure, we all have different personalities. Some are just more calm naturally than others. I was thinking about something I remember hearing many years ago. My wife even spoke on this subject one time in a presentation that she gave. No, I'm not a worrier. But what they don't realize is they seem to be a carrier. Some people evoke or bring with them worry, chaos, confusion, tenseness. Other people don't bring that. With God's Holy Spirit, we should never be one who carries. We shouldn't be a carrier. I'll ask you, how much peace of mind are you experiencing in your life right now? If you're struggling with this, how do you propose to change that? What is it that you can truly do to get that turned around? As is so often the case, the answer is not difficult to understand, perhaps just difficult to implement. And that's perhaps what we need to correct. Going to God in prayer is the answer to these questions. That's what will bring us the peace that's needed. Now, again, we may know that up here, but we have to be willing to do that. Romans chapter 15, let's go there. Romans 15. I'd like to pick up in verse 30. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Now, what we see here is the Apostle Paul sharing that he planned to visit with them in Rome. And he was asking them specifically to pray for his protection as well as his effectiveness. And then in the final verse of the chapter, we see him sharing that he also was asking God to provide them with peace. Notice verse 33. Now, the God of peace be with you all. No doubt about it. God is a God of peace. Yes, he will bring death to those who refuse to listen to him at a certain point in the future. However, for those he has called and for those he will call in the future, he gives peace. Additionally, he is the only one who can bring lasting peace. Of course, God will also resurrect later and teach the truth to the rest of the world. 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's turn there. As I shared, we're going to turn to more scriptures today than normal. 1 Thessalonians 5. I'd like to read beginning in verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace is a gift Jesus Christ gave to his disciples, and by extension, to all of his faithful sheep. That's what you and I are today, disciples, students of Jesus Christ. And hopefully as faithful disciples that have been given the Holy Spirit, we have been given peace that can and will sustain us through times of difficulty and challenge. Yes, as I was saying at the beginning of this sermon, there are clear and obvious trials, certainly outside of God's church, but we are not immune to trials just because we are first fruits, are we? For example, those who lost loved ones in the last couple of weeks are having to deal with that trial that has changed their lives from that point on. But there's tremendous peace that comes through God's Holy Spirit that provides indescribable comfort throughout difficult times of trial. It is indescribable. You know when God has intervened in your life in such a way to provide you a calming spirit and peace that, frankly, is, again, beyond description. Let's now consider the beautiful trait from another angle, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Here in Luke 10, I'd like to begin in verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." I'll just share with you that this is something that I hope we pray regularly as well. Now, we know the gates of hell will not prevail against God's church, but we also know there needs to be a continuing of the ministry, so God will provide, but we certainly are to pray that he does provide the laborers that are needed. Go your way, verse 3, behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. Now, isn't this interesting? The disciples had the ability to bring peace to others thanks to the gift God gave them through His Holy Spirit. Fellow family members, this quality should be in us as well. We should be a peace bringer, not a carrier of something else. So this naturally poses a question for us. Is this true of us? You look in your own life. Do you bring peace as a disciple of Christ, or do people run for cover when you approach? I'm using exaggeration a little bit here, purposely. Hopefully that's the latter is not the case. But this should give us pause, shouldn't it? Like you, I would believe, I want to be one who brings peace wherever I go. It'd be very sobering to me if I were to discover that my reputation was one of bringing something other than peace. If and when that was the case, I would want to change that immediately. What's shared here in Luke is beautiful. Ask God to help you always bring peace with you wherever you go. It's a beautiful and endearing trait for sure. If you think about the people that you've appreciated, especially if you've lived any real time in life and had life experiences, the people you tend to appreciate the most are actually typically people who bring joy and or peace into your life, or perhaps both. 1 Timothy chapter 2, let's turn there. 1 Timothy 2. Here in 1 Timothy 2, I'd like to begin in verse 1. Therefore, I exhort first of all the supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. The Apostle Paul did not have a school in which to teach additional students or ministers, but he often wrote letters, as we know here, to encourage and to teach. In this letter to Timothy, who was a young minister, Paul points out the importance of praying for those in authority so that there would be no outward disturbance and more people would be able to live peacefully. You know, if we have peace among ourselves, it allows the gospel of peace to be preached. Clearly, if we do not have peace among ourselves, then chaos ultimately ends up reigning. And that's what we see when we turn on the news so often. People pitted against one another in anything but a peaceful state. Let's bring this home even closer. Fellow family members, when we have visitors visiting our congregation or new attendees that are just coming into the truth of God, they should certainly find us at peace with one another. I have no doubt that it is important to you just as it is important to God. Psalm 34 in verses 11 through 19, we can read of several factors that contribute to peace. Let's go over to the 34th Psalm, and I want to read one verse in particular. Psalm 34, and we'll take a look at verse 14. Psalm 34, verse 14. Depart from evil and do good. Now notice the last phrase. Seek peace. Pursue it. You know, how we talk to one another, how we think about one another, how we carry ourselves, makes it very clear to people who are watching and certainly God who's observing as to whether we really do seek and pursue peace. Some people just don't value it that much. In God's church, I hope we value it highly. When it says in verse 14 that we are to seek peace, that means we are to strive for it as after going after a goal, right? You work at it. It's not an occasional thought that just sort of skips through our minds and then we don't think more about it. As we do this, we show ourselves to be righteous. And even the righteous suffer many afflictions, as verse 19 later points out. The last part of that same verse is tremendously encouraging. Notice that in verse 19. The Lord delivers him out of them all. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. There's so many challenges in life for everyone I know. Yet the difference between those that are able to keep putting one foot in front of the other and move in a forward direction, as opposed to those who are struggling or continue to struggle to do so, or seemingly refuse to do so, is that person a value? Person A values peace more highly than person B. Why do I say that? Because as with all things, we don't do something until we value it highly enough. We do, you'll hear me say this many times as long as I'm here, what we really want to do. And we don't do what we don't really want to do. So we can play games and say, yes, this is what I want. But if we're doing everything but pursuing that, we're just lying to ourselves. We're fooling ourselves. We're not being honest with who we really are. We're saying one thing, we're doing another. It has to be important enough to us, or we won't do it. Fellow family members, if you're struggling with lack of peace in your life, it begins by asking God to provide you with that, combined with a deep desire to pursue it. I'm not only asking God, I'm pursuing it. The people you know that are going through trials, but also seem to be experiencing levels of peace that others in similar situations are not, are experiencing peace because of their close relationship with God. Let's go to Hebrews 12 for a moment. Hebrews chapter 12. Here in Hebrews 12, I'd like to begin in verse 14. Hebrews 12 and verse 14. Pursue peace. Now pursue, obviously, it's quite clear what that means. Follow after, look for, seek, pursue. Be aggressive in pursuit. Pursue peace with all people. Sometimes, some people, it's tough to have peace with. And yet we're told to pursue peace with them. I sure hope God understands how difficult this person is. It's one of the beauties in understanding and appreciating God's Word. You read things and then you realize it doesn't say if or under these circumstances. Or with these particular people. No, it says pursue peace with all people. And holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. God expects you and me to value what He teaches here. He expects you and me to value and pursue peaceful lives. And when we work on becoming a man or woman that conveys peacefulness, our minds don't drift where they should not. Because frankly, what happens if you don't pursue peace? Oftentimes things can creep in, like bitterness. Notice the next verse right here, verse 15. Look carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble. And by this, many become defiled. There's no question, it's a powerful passage. Bitterness, as we should all realize, has wreaked havoc in the lives of many people. I grew up in a home where my father told me the quickest way to leave God's church is become bitter. Now, you know, why would he say that? Well, I started realizing and understanding. Imagine this, if you will. Let's say you plant a seed in a garden. What does that seed become? For all the gardeners here, you know and you look forward to that seed germinating and turning into that plant that grows and then produces the vegetables or fruit, whatever it might happen to be, that you planted, right? Okay, so imagine a seed of bitterness kind of planted back here at the base of your brain. And if you don't remove that seed of bitterness that might happen to be there, what happens? It germinates and grows. And slowly over time, it begins to turn into something that messes with what's up in here in your mind. What a powerful message that we're given here. Bitterness has led people to commit horrible crimes. It's led people to turn against family members. It's led people to cause division even within the body of Christ. And it's led people to leave the body of Christ. The more one pursues peace, the less room one has for bitterness. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and way back towards the back here of this long book, verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing causes them to stumble. Obviously, obedience to God's law brings with it peace. This is a succinct passage that carries a powerfully important message. The opposite is also true, right? What does this tell us? Well, it should tell us that obedience to God's law is critical, and in fact, we cannot have the love of God in us apart from obedience. This is essential to recognize. Some individuals or organizations teach that all we need is the love of God and that's all that matters or all that is to the picture. And I can say, well, we do need the love of God. You are right. And while that may sound good, what so often is not understood because they don't have God's Holy Spirit is that it's misleading and that one cannot have the love of God in them unless they are first called by God to respond to that calling by repenting and then following through on repentance, being baptized with God's Holy Spirit, and receiving the Holy Spirit through laying on of hands. So even the intent might be good in one sense, but until the calling and the understanding that God gives, we're limited. Again, if we want to experience greater peace in our lives, then we will learn to develop a stronger love and appreciation for the Word of God and His law. Let's go over to 1 John chapter 5 for just a moment. 1 John 5. I'd like to read verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. I'll never forget hearing at different times in the past in my history in God's church, individuals who actually had reached the point where they felt God's commandments were indeed burdensome. Keeping God's holy days was burdensome. Eating clean foods was burdensome. They failed to appreciate what we just read right here. Over the years, we've all read this section of Scripture countless times. And once again, what the love of God is defined as is keeping His commandments. So we show our love to God and our love of God through obeying Him. And the more we do this, the greater peace we experience in our lives, no matter the trial we face. See, one thing that's important to be very clear about, I don't want to paint a sugar-coated picture here and somehow say that you're not going to experience many trials in life, because I know that that's not true. We are tested by trial, and I believe everybody here agrees with that. But what is true as well is that God provides tremendous peace in the midst of those trials. When we turn to Him, we follow Him, we get selfishness out. We really scrutinize and look into our lives and see what it is that isn't compatible with what God teaches. Every so often, I talk with a person who's struggling to feel good about themselves. Perhaps someone who, for whatever the reason or excuse, refuses to do what they really need to do. And every time I talk with a person in this position, we spend time talking about the need to experience peace of mind, the peace of mind that comes from God. And the only way to receive that from Him is to do what He says. It's not rocket science, but it is a test of our character, for sure. If we've been in God's church for many years, we've heard many sermons on how Satan is the prince of the power of the air and how he works in the mind of individuals. Fellow family members, we know he hates us and wants to trip us up any way that he possibly can. He's attempted to belittle God's laws and the very holy days that God has commanded us to keep. So we passed the test, right? Well, we overcame while others walked back into Babylon. So we're okay, right? We looked into God's laws, studied and internalized, and now we're stronger than ever, right? Satan realizes all. Well, he realizes all of that, actually, and he's going to leave us alone, isn't he? Satan still hates you and wants more than ever. So he may be saying, okay, you keep the Sabbath, keep the holy days, obey God all you want. Just give me your attitude. You know, I have a question for us at this juncture. Could any of us obey God with a wrong attitude? Well, the answer is yes and no. Yes, we can attend church services, and I say yes and no. Follow what I'm saying. We can attend church services each week. We can keep eating clean foods. We can keep the holy days. We can keep from working on the Sabbath. But that doesn't mean that our attitude is where it needs to be. We're reminded throughout the Old Testament that the Lord is near to those who, what? Have a broken heart, a contrite spirit. There's a certain frame of mind that we need to have. In other words, we can walk through the motions and in that sense answer the question, yes. But that's merely walking through the motions. That's not really changing who we are. So in that sense, the answer would be no. God's looking for us to exemplify humility because we understand our place in life. We are nothing apart from God. When that is our attitude, God blesses us with peace. Isaiah 57. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 57. And let's read verse 15. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. What does this show us? It shows us who is both taught the truth and who is teachable. Him who has a contrite and humble spirit. The great God of the universe wants us to be around those with a contrite heart. It makes sense that these are the people that experience high degrees of peace. Luke 2. Luke chapter 2. Verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now, the word peace here means a reconciliation with God. Goodwill must be built upon peace. And obedience is the foundation upon which goodwill is built. So again, in order for us to enjoy peace in our lives, we must be willing to obey, not merely acknowledge the word of God. We must be willing to obey. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Whoosh, feel that breeze as you turn the scriptures. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now, all these character traits that are mentioned here should result in peace ruling in our lives. I'm assuming we all realize, and I hope to a great degree, as we will react profoundly and positively if we do, that being at peace is really good for our health. Perhaps you've noticed how your health is when you lack peace. Physical health, not to mention mental, emotional, spiritual. Stress destroys good health and can ultimately kill a person. Oh, sure, it might come out in the form of cancer or come out in the form of heart attack or come out in the form of something else, but it was stress, perhaps, that led in some of those cases to some of the things that ultimately took a person's life. If this is the case, that's not, by the way, saying that everybody who gets some of these things is stressed. Just saying that can contribute. If this is the case, getting our minds in the right place is very important for all of us. With peace of mind comes the lessening of stress. Philippians chapter 4. Let's read a very familiar verse here. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren. All right, so where our minds need to be? What do we need to be focused on? How can we have this elusive peace? Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on, focus on, think about, contemplate on these things. That's where our mind needs to be. Why? Because that's where peace comes from. God blesses through His Holy Spirit and gives us peace because we're putting our minds on the right place. If you've been feeling a lot of stress in your life, remember this passage because it shows us exactly where our minds need to be. Verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. Don't just talk about them. Don't fake them. Do them. And the God of peace will be with you. This is what I want, and I believe each of us in here wants, isn't it? Notice what's said in verses 6 and 7 here. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let me just stop for a moment and think about this first phrase in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. How many of us borrow worry, stress? Be anxious for nothing. Look, I'm not going to tell you that it's easy to not worry or fret about certain things. Because I know it's not. But I also know where to turn to not just live in that and wallow in it. I know what I need to get to mentally be, spiritually be, emotionally be in a stronger and better place. When it says, be anxious for nothing, don't allow ourselves to fret and worry all the time over things. Mothers are beautiful people. Mothers like to worry. And there's something about that that we all understand and appreciate the fact that we are loved by our mothers. That they do indeed worry about us. But that could be to a greater or lesser degree, depending partly on how much we appreciate passages like this. It doesn't mean you love your family less because you have more peace of mind and don't fret or worry in that sense as much. And it doesn't mean you're more righteous because you worry more. It's just an interesting thing to contemplate and think about. Verse 7 says, peace of God. Let your requests be made known to God, verse 6. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When you watch the news, when you read articles on the internet, it doesn't take long to see that we each need peace that comes from God's Holy Spirit. We need our minds protected. If we do not have this protection, well, guess what? We're open to deception. Without this protection, we would not be able to recognize truth from error. So this guarding of our hearts and minds is certainly needed. Before closing, I have a few more passages I want to turn to, and that's beginning in Romans 12. Let's consider some practical applications of peace. Romans 12, practical applications. Romans 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now, perhaps you're saying, I don't know if I can do this. You don't know my neighbor. You know, one of the congregations I pastored in the past, there was some members in one of the congregations who had this neighbor that nobody would like to have, who was doing everything that he could to make their lives miserable, taking them to court, trying to create all kinds of havoc in their lives over things that were nonsense. Some people are just difficult. So perhaps you're saying when you read something like this, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Well, the if it's possible part kicks in at a time like that. Okay? There are some people who you cannot make peace with no matter how much you try, so you do the best you can to live and coexist where the circumstances are what they are. But those are the extremely rare exception to the rule. Perhaps you can ask God to provide you with the peace of mind that only He can provide, the peace of mind that passes all understanding. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let's turn there. Again, we're looking at the practical application here, applying what it is that God shows us He was willing to give us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and let's begin in verse 12. We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, be at peace among yourselves. Now, part of my goal is not to make it difficult for you to appreciate and respect me as your pastor by making sure that I respect you. I can hardly expect you to respect me if I don't respect you. That would not be fair, right, in any level or any way. Like you, I want peace here in the midst of all of us, always. I believe we have this at this time, and I certainly hope that's your view as well. But frankly, God expects us to be at peace with one another, no matter the circumstances. This should be reflected in our marriages. This should be reflected in our physical family. It should be reflected in our spiritual family. Verse 14, as we continue here in 1 Thessalonians 5. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for you, yourselves, and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Peace is part of the fruit of the Spirit, as we saw at the beginning today. We do not want to quench the Spirit because we refuse, for whatever reason, to pursue peace. Because if we refuse to pursue peace, eventually we will quench the Spirit. That certainly seems to drive home the importance of peace, doesn't it? Mark chapter 9. Mark 9. Verse 42. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and were thrown into the sea. You know, part of having peace and harmony is doing what we can each individually not to offend one another.
Well, I just tell it like it is.
Well, are we saying lie? No. But we are saying love one another enough to be wise in what we share. How many times has something, a beautiful point, been lost because of how it was shared? That's another lesson I feel like I learned growing up. How you say something is equally as important as what you say. It's really quite a warning here by Jesus Christ. It would be better to have a millstone placed around our necks and thrown in the ocean. It would seem as though this is extremely relevant information in God's eyes, right? Let's go back to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and beginning in verse 5. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us, and it seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now I realize we're breaking into a section of Scripture here dealing with the issue of discipline by God. But I'm reading this because sometimes the reason we may lack peace is because we aren't right with God in some way, that we are not recognizing or have not been able to see up to that point. I like what Paul says here in verse 11. Being chastened by God yields peaceable fruit. This world is full of people that don't have the slightest understanding of what peace is, much less how to experience it. What a blessing it is to be corrected by a loving God who desires to give us peace. But we got to be open to that correction, if that's what's needed. Certainly that direction from God. We saw earlier in Psalm 34, verse 19, that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. So trials can and do, for those that repent and change, ultimately bring peace. One final thought I'd like for us to look at today is the connection, as we turn over to Proverbs 11, between the improper or unloving use of the tongue and lack of peace. Because one of the quickest ways to destroy peace is the improper or unloving use of the tongue. Proverbs 11, again, what we say, how we say it, those are both very, very important traits. Proverbs 11 and verse 9, first phrase says, the hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. Well, who or what is a hypocrite? It's an individual who says one thing, does another. Notice verse 12. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. The more we understand what God wants from us, the more we learn to seal our lips to avoid harm or hurt. And when we do that, we experience a higher degree of peace, and we also bring peace to others. We will definitely pursue peace if we value it highly enough. Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17 Notice verse 27. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. You ever notice what happens? I'm sure you have. When somebody comes at you and raises their voice, "Oh, I can't believe you!" And then what do? You're like, right back. As soon as they ratchet up, you ratchet up. Wow, that's how it works. I got to get my 2 bits in. Think about the verse that we just read. A man of understanding is of a calm spirit. You know, we don't control what comes at us, but we certainly control how we handle what comes at us. Fellow family members, the more we understand what God wants from us, the more we practice that. And the more we practice what God wants, the more we realize the importance of keeping our tongue and enjoying the peace that comes from that. Here's a quote from Roy Rogers. Now, I know there's people in here who know who Roy Rogers is, and I know there are probably people in here who don't have a clue who Roy Rogers is. And the only reason I do is not because he was big in my time, because frankly, he was big before my time, too. They used to even have a chain of restaurants, Roy Rogers restaurants. Remember those? For those who have been around long enough. I'll leave it to you, if you don't know who this is, to ask somebody who does. Never fail to take the opportunity to shut up. He's rather direct with that quote, isn't he? But the point is, our tongue can help promote or destroy peace. One final scripture, Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Let's begin at verse 20. Hebrews 13 and verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. According to what we read here, God is a God of peace. Or to turn it around, peace is of God. It is beautiful. It is endearing. It is needed the world over. But you know, until the fulfillment of God's plan, this world cannot experience this needed quality on any real level. In the meantime, you and I do know, by reading and understanding the scriptures that we've looked at today, how to experience peace. And it begins by pursuing it actively. Fellow family members, peace be with you.